Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just exalt your name. We lift you up on high because you're so worthy. You're so worthy of our praise and of our worship. Lord, I ask that you would help us to worship you the way you want us to, in humility, God. With a humble heart, with a contrite spirit, God, I ask that you would do a work in us this morning so we would worship you wholeheartedly, God, without walls up. Help us to surrender to you, God, in every aspect. Help us to open up every room of our hearts so that your light would come in and remove the darkness, God. Help us to see you clearly. Give us eyes in the spirit. Give us ears in the spirit so that we would be one with you, God. Help us to abide in your word this morning so that our joy would be full, that your joy would be with us, God. Help us, Lord, to exalt you, to lift you up. You inhabit the praises of your people. Help us praise you, God. Help us praise you, God. We ask for your Holy Spirit to come. We ask for your fire to come, Lord. Be a consuming fire in us this morning and throughout the rest of the day, throughout the rest of the week, God. May this be a day that we don't forget, Lord, for your glory, for your honor. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship.
Good. Let the Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, that you are so good, Lord, that you are the King of our hearts, Lord. Lord, I pray that we're not just saying that here, Lord, that every day we are walking with you, Lord. We are praising you, Lord, and everything that we do, Lord, we are walking with you. We are seeking you, Lord, because you are so good, Lord. It is you that we put all our faith and our trust in, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, lead us. Lead us, Lord, with your passion for your people, Lord. The Lord, that we just spread your gospel to each and every person that we encounter every day, Lord, because we know the comfort that only you can provide, Lord. We know the love and the joy and the rest that you provide, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us, to serve in your God-given purposes for us here, Lord. And you make us generous with our time and our money and everything that we do, Lord, because we do it all for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down.
Amen. Amen to that. That's true, isn't it? Whether you feel it or even think it, it's still true. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you. You're faithful. You're true. You don't let go. Thank you, Father, for your great mercy and your great grace. Amen, friends. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Great to have you today at Seaport and Pastor Brad. We welcome those of you online, those of you in person, especially those of you that are visiting maybe for the very first time or haven't had yet the chance to connect. We'd love to connect with you. We don't believe you came here by accident. We believe God connected you with us, and we want to advance in that relationship with you because we know that this church can bless you and you can bless it. And so great ways to connect. The easiest way to connect is to just, you can go right through the app and use the little QR code in front of you, or you can text the word welcome to the number on the screen. You can do that. We'd love to connect with you that way. And if you do it digitally, you'll get a link back. Make sure you hit that link and complete the little process, not even one minute. And then if you'd like to do it old school through paper, you can do that out at our information center. So what we do in the way of welcoming you. We applaud. That's our way of saying welcome today. So welcome to you. Great to have you here. Hallelujah. And there's some opportunities I'm going to share with you very quickly as we go on here, because we have lots to tell you about today and lots for you to experience as well. Hallelujah. I mean, next week, we are moving toward Resurrection Sunday. We want this place to look great, so there's a work day. Please join us for that. You can sign up on the app. That would really help us to come. We've got a lot of projects to make the place shine for our friends. Amen? They can see that we care about this place that God gave us. So please sign up and be part of that. And then the Ranger Derby, you know, they've been making these beautiful cars. And I've seen some of them are really amazing. And it's a lot of fun. So that's going to be set up right here in the sanctuary on that Saturday. So be part of that. That's always a lot of fun. If you say, you know, how do you get involved at Seaport? Well, you come to a 75-minute webinar, but this one is going to be in person. It's not going to be a webinar. It's going to be in person with me on a Wednesday night. And so you can do that, jump in and sign up for that through the app as well. And then we continue the series Wednesday night. We've been teaching a series called Where Do We Go From Here? About prophetic signs that point to the return of Jesus. And this week is my turn, and I'm going to take you and help you understand the significance of the city of Jerusalem. How many have been to Jerusalem? So maybe one or two. Debbie and I were in Jerusalem 4 years ago. And on the connection page a little later this afternoon or this evening, a video will appear. It'll give you a quick overview of the city of Jerusalem. And I'll take you there via video and help you to understand its significance in world history and the return of Jesus. That's Wednesday night. And so anyway, so Pastor Debbie and Melissa are coming right now with me. We want to talk to you about Easter and what is coming. And we're excited. Easter's a big deal. And so they're going to come and tell you a little bit about it. First of all, Good Friday. We kind of alternate this. 1 year we'll do a service. Another year we'll do, we call it the journey to the cross, or sometimes the crosswalk. And Pastor Debbie's going to tell you about that.
The journey to the cross. Some of you have been and experienced it, and it's amazing. It is a powerful, moving, multi-sensory family event that takes people along the path that Jesus walked during his last hours on earth, culminating with Jesus' command for us to use our joy and light to bring the gospel to the world. This is designed specifically for all ages to experience the life-changing message of the cross. I hope you will be part of it. It's right here. It will be all day from noon till 8 p.m., right here in the sanctuary. You can come at any time that is convenient for you, spend as much time as you'd like in the experience, and then exit the doors to share your joy and your light with the world. So that's Good Friday from 12 to 8 p.m.
Amen. Okay, so again, you can come anytime during those hours and stay as long or as little as you want. And again, families, and come with your families, because it will really give them a whole new perspective on what Jesus went through as you move through these various stations. But then Easter Sunday morning, two services, 9 and 11. And Melissa, tell us about what's happening with kids.
Oh, wow. So we're super excited. And I do encourage you to bring them to the Journey to the Cross. It's multi-sensory, so it's a wonderful experience for everyone. So then we go to Easter Sunday. So as Pastor just said, two services, so 9 and 11. You're going to register for which one you're going to bring your family to. We're going to have full kids programs offered at both services. So we'll have nursery, early childhood program, and kids church at both. And then following both services, we are
following
going to have...
Both services, okay?
Egg extravagant Easter egg hunt. So I'm super excited. It's the first one that we've done in several years. So I think my little one's never even been to an Easter egg hunt. So I'm excited that she can go and participate. So I hope that you will come. It's a wonderful tool to be able to invite our friends. And also, like I said, knowing that there's full kids programs offered at both services. And then the egg hunts, we're going to have thousands of eggs. We'll literally be in the field out there. And they literally go away in seconds. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's not a problem with picking up leftovers. you know. So now we are asking you to register for that. That will just help us to make sure that we are adequately prepared for you. I know some of you are like, I don't want to register. But please register. That will help us to help you. Okay? Because we want to make sure that we're fully staffed, fully prepared for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Say yes, Pastor Brad. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Amen. I'm going to ask my wife to remain here, and I'm going to ask my daughter, Lindsay, to join us. And don't bring up that picture yet. John, you know, in just a moment here. 33 years ago today, Seaport Assembly of God opened its doors at Fitch, then Junior High School. What a ride. This was the sign that greeted everybody, and those are the people. Yeah, who are they?
That dress was very fashionable then. So I don't want to hear none of this. What's she wearing?
I think that's coming back. Anyway, it started, 33 years ago, and what a crazy journey it's been. It was Easter Sunday morning. That was the sign. It's still that sign is in my office, actually, not today. And that was the sign that greeted people when they came in the front door of the school. And we met at that school for 5 years. Now, to start Seaport, we started in the most unorthodox way that you could do ever, and we did it through telemarketing, and we made 22,154 phone calls. We talked to anybody that would pick up a phone. And Seaport had one of the strongest initial Sundays of any church that I'm familiar with in all of New England. 207 people came to that very first service. And it was amazing. It was amazing. I'll never forget opening those rust-colored curtains on the stage there at Fitch Junior High School at the time, and walking out and saying good morning to a congregation I had never met and they had never met me. And then we were off to the races. And we were there for five, huh?
I think Richard was there.
Richard, where's Richard? Richard, stand up. Richard is the only one still that was here that first Sunday that's still with us. There's Richard right there. There's Richard. He was there day one, and he's still here 33 years later. He's the only one that can say that besides us. But anyway, what a journey it has been. And you know what? We just take a moment. On the fifth year, we always do a big celebration like we did on the 30s. We'll do a big one on the 35th. But I sang that song about the Lord's faithfulness. That's all I could think of. It was over 33 years, how faithful God has been. You know, from the 5 years in the school till 10 years in an old health club. And then 19 years ago, we built this building. And what a ride. And guess what? The best is yet to come. Absolutely. The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. I could tell you things that the Lord has showed me about this place. It'd blow your mind, but I won't save that for another day. But you know what? Can you take a moment with me? And let's stand together. Let's stand together and let's pray that Seaport steps into all that God has for us. Amen? You have lots of family and friends that still need Jesus, right? There's lots of people in this community, in this area, 250,000 people within 20 minutes of this church. Most of them need Jesus. Lord, help us. It's been a great ride. You've been faithful, and you're not even remotely done yet. There's so many great things ahead for Seaport and for all of us. And Lord, we think of our family and of our friends. So many of them still need you, still need you. We ask those of God who have known you and fallen away to return. That they would return. We pray for those who've never known you to step into a relationship, that you would use us to minister to them and to love them for you and to reach out and speak life to them. Help us to do that, we pray. God, be glorified in all of this. Continue to strengthen. Lord, you've been faithful to Seaport. I don't have to ask you to be faithful. You have been and you will be. And there are amazing things ahead. Thanks, Lord. Amen. 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 Glory to God. God bless you guys. You may be seated. Hallelujah. You know, Sue Horn, I wasn't going to do this. Come on up here real quick. Like, Sue, okay. So some of you know Sue. I wasn't going to do this. She does not know what I'm going to do. So, okay, you're used to that. So, okay. So, Sue, you can grab that microphone. Okay. So I just, you know what? Every time, it used to be, now Sue lives in Florida. She's just visiting with us today. But Sue came to this church for 10 years with her two sons. And every time you saw her, you knew that she had ridden a ferry 45 minutes from Fishers Island, New York to here. 10 years. Okay? She did that. And, you know, we appreciate your faithfulness and your example and how you've blessed this church and continue to do so. But just tell us quickly, you were at an event, an impact event for girls. And just quickly tell us what happened at that event. Because it just shows you the impact of this church.
It just so happens the name of my church in Florida is Impact. It is also an Assemblies of God church. Last weekend, I went on my first powwet, which, not that I'm that old, but it was exhausting. Besides that, it's like 90 degrees down there. But
powwet is a gathering for Assemblies of God girls for the girls' club, Impact, okay, that we do on Wednesday nights.
So there were probably about 700 girls there, and they had a teen event where they had in the nighttime, we had a party, and they had ice cream, and I was in the ice cream line. I had to put caramel sauce on or chocolate sauce. And beside me, there was a young lady, she had to do whipped cream. And I was talking to her, and I was saying I was coming to Mystic to see my sons and my grandchildren next week. And she said, Mystic's beautiful. I said, yes, it is. And she said, and so she said a little bit about herself, and she said that her husband was in the service. And I said, well, do you know about Seaport? And she's like, yeah, I went to Seaport. I'm like, you're kidding me. She's like, no, Pastor Brad dedicated my daughter. I'm like, oh, here we go. And it just so happens you're going to have to tell me how you pronounce her last name, but her first name
Sosabe.
Was Tiffany.
Tiffany Sosabe. Phil and Tiffany Sosabe.
So it was really, really awesome to see. I knew that I had to come from Florida. I knew God wanted me here, appointed me this day to be here with you guys. I didn't even know it was the 33rd anniversary. But it was so cool because it was just confirmation that God knew amongst the whipped cream and the caramel sauce that he wanted to just say, Sue, you're on the right track, and Seaport's everywhere. Just so you guys know, they're doing awesome. Her daughter gave an amazing prophetic word at the end of the powwet, and God's on the move.
Amen. Sue, thank you. Bless you. It's great, great to see you.
Is that all the questions?
Huh?
Is that all the questions?
That's all the questions, Sue. Yeah. Once you meet Sue, you'll never forget Sue. That's for sure. She's really an amazing, amazing person, and cancer survivor, among other things. And so, you know, so, amen. I shouldn't say survivor. That doesn't fit Sue.
Thriver.
That's I should say conqueror. Thriver. That's what I should say about you. Yeah, yeah. That's you. That's more like you. That's for sure. And hallelujah. We love you, Sue, and we thank you. Thank God for you. Hallelujah. You know, just as we keep moving along here, you know what? I've never checked this, but I think it's true from what I can tell. I don't think there's anywhere in the U.S. that you can go today. When Seaport started, the vision was if we can be a powerful and effective local church and touch people in the area. I'm a local, born and raised here. And we can be a home away from home for our military. We can impact the world. I believe that today you could go anywhere in America and be within easy driving distance of somebody that's been part of this church. Because it's just, they've gone everywhere. They're everywhere. Coast to coast, border to border. They're here today. Thousands have come through this church. And so we thank God for that vision is being fulfilled. Hallelujah. Let me just say this to you. I read this scripture, and the Apostle Paul said this. He said, since you excel in so many ways in your faith, your gifted speakers, your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us. I want you to excel also in the generous and gracious act of giving. And you know what? You guys are excelling in so many ways, and many of you are excelling in the grace and the gift of giving, and so thank you for that. I appreciate how that you're growing in that. You know, it's just, let me just say this to you. This was kind of a little unexpected. You guys gave to Quinn for his mission trip to Poland and Ukraine $1,353 to help him go. You just blessed him like that, you know. I mean, one of you said to me, "This is excelling in the grace of giving," and you guys you're doing this. Thank you for that. You know, one of you, we're doing the blessing of the bikes, and we didn't plan on doing it. I felt like it was kind of a last minute thing, and the Lord told me to do it, and I knew it was going to cost a couple $1,000 to do it. And long story short, one of you said to me. You said to me, I'm shortening big backstory here. Said to me, what do you need from me to help with that? And I said, I'm not going to tell you. The Lord had spoken to me about that, but I said, I'm not going to tell you. You pray and then you tell me. And you went and prayed. It only took you a few moments. You went and prayed and you came back and you said to me, within moments, you said, $1,000. And I said, you're exactly right. That's what the Lord told me that you're supposed to give. And they gave that $1,000. To help with blessing of the bikes. And so all I'm saying to you is that you guys, you're excelling in the, I've got more to tell you, hang on. I won't get to it all today. I got more to tell you. But you guys are excelling in the grace of giving. Thank you for that. I honor and I esteem that. And may all of us excel in that, amen? Lord, as we give today, we want to excel in the grace of giving. Excel in it. Because, Lord, I know you respond to generosity. It's amazing how you return to us what we give many times over. Help us, Lord. For some of us, it's not a big deal. For some of us, it's a real challenge and a real struggle. But help all of us to excel in the grace of giving. May we live generous lives to bless your work, to bless your people, and to bless people far beyond. Thanks, Father. Amen. Amen, friends. Amen. Amen. There's ways on the screen that you can give. I don't think I need to describe all that to you, but there's there and lots of different ways to give. Thanks for being so generous. We're continuing the series today, and you don't know how hard it is for me to give this topic up. I twisted on this one hard, but I gave this one. As we go through, we're going through the major players of Scripture. We call it headliners. We've been talking about some of the major players. And today we come to Nehemiah. And Chris is preaching on this guy, this man of powerful influence. You say, well, what's the big deal about Nehemiah? Please understand that I studied the book of Nehemiah in depth. And I took the principles of that book and I used them to start Seaport Community Church. That's why it's important to me. Chris,
hallelujah!
Thank bring us to Nehemiah. Brad.
Hope to do you well, anniversary and all. No pressure. Favorite topic. Well, good morning, Seaport. How's everybody doing this morning? It's the 33rd anniversary. How awesome is that? But I just have one question for you this morning. Are you a leader? Now, I'm sure. As those words came out of my mouth, some of you were like, why, yes, I am. I am a leader. And others were probably like, ooh, I hope he doesn't call on me. But let's explore this. You see, we've been walking through some amazing figures over the last few weeks, right? We talked about Moses. We walked through Ezra. We walked through Josiah. And each one of these figures, they had just tremendous characteristics. Right? And today, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah, as Pastor Brad said, right? And in my opinion, it is the best book that I've ever read on the entire topic of leadership. It's got everything in there. How to discern vision for your life and for your work.
how to communicate that vision, how to recruit teams, how to delegate, how to persevere in the face of opposition. We could do an entire series on Nehemiah. Now you may say, well, that's all well and good, Chris, but I'm not a leader. Well, here's the first thing that I want to tell you today. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are all leaders because leadership is defined by our influence. And the moment that you choose Christ, the moment that you choose Jesus, you become a person or people of influence. And why? Why, you might ask this question, you know? Because from that moment on, people are watching. People are watching, right? They want to see the difference that happens in your life. They want to see how we are living differently. Some will want to emulate this, while others, they will want to, you know, see if they can catch you sleeping. They'll want to criticize or persecute you, right? They may even want to just justify their own actions based on the way that you handled something. And yet, it's because of this watching, it's because of this influence that the early church was able to grow in the first 300 years after Christ, right? Christianity, it spread around the Greco-Roman world without any recourse to the violence that we see throughout history. And why is that? Why is that? It's because people saw that Christians lived differently, right? We change the world by our example, not by our opinions. So no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you have influence. You have influence over your family. You have influence at your workplace. You have influence in your neighborhoods. You are a person of influence, whether you realize it or not. And now, Nehemiah, he was called to essentially do two things: to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to reform the community there. Now, we might not be called to such a position of national influence as that, but who knows? Who knows where the river of influence dumps out? You know, perhaps someone in this very sanctuary will do something in the future. You know, maybe one of these kids will do something in the future. Maybe Toby will be an engineer who builds things out of Legos for a national leader, or Tristan will, you know, be acting on some large stage and have influence. But nonetheless, we all are people who have influence for God's kingdom. Now I get it. Some of you might still be saying, well, Chris, that's all well, but actually, I'm a failure as a Christian. You don't know what my life is like. You know, I get myself together on Sundays and Wednesdays, but if people looked at me, they would hardly be inspired. But that's not the case. That's just simply not the case. You have influence. I want you to say it with me. Say it with me right now. I have influence. That wasn't good enough. I have influence. Because, you see, in Christ, failure is always an event and never a person. Once we are in Christ, once we are following Him, our status is changed forever. And it can never be altered. You cannot be a failure if you're in Christ. In fact, your calling, your potential, no matter where you are, no matter where you came from, no matter what your backstory is, you have potential. You are going to be a shining star for God. So how do we do this? How do we live a life of influence? Let's see what Nehemiah says. There's just so much in here, but I want to encourage you to read the full book of Nehemiah. But today we're going to focus on just chapter 1. You know, when we talk about context a lot,
we talk about context because it's super important. So let's kind of get the feel of where we are. And if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Brad, he brought us through the contagious courage of Ezra. And in fact, Ezra and Nehemiah, they existed and functioned at the same time period. And you see, the Babylonians had captured the city of Jerusalem. They had burnt the temple. They had pulled down the city's walls, and they had taken most of the population and marched them off into exile in Babylon, which is, you know, modern-day Iraq. Now remember, these worldly kingdoms, they come and go. So if you now fast forward 140 years, Babylon is no longer the world superpower. Now Persia is in charge, and there is a Jew called Nehemiah, and he's a cupbearer. Nehemiah is working in the court of the Persian king Artaxerxes. And I'm sure you're asking, like, what is a cupbearer exactly? Now, I don't want you to think of a busboy or some waiter who's coming to pour you a drink as we go through this. Nehemiah, he was a trusted advisor and the tester of all things that went before the king. So you can imagine this had to have been somebody that he trusted with his life because he was there to stop any assassination attempts. So if you pull out your preferred biblical viewing platform, we are going to be firmly in the book of Nehemiah today, chapter 1, verse 1. And, you know, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so if I butcher some of these names, grace, please. These are the memoirs of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. In late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa, which Susa was in Iran, so right on the Iran and Iraq border, just to give you some context. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some of the other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Then I said, "O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of unfailing love and with those who love him and obey him commands, listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We have sinned terribly, but not obeying the commands, decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Please remember what you told your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful to me, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even you are exiled to the ends of the earth. I will bring you back to the place that I have chosen for my name to be honored. The people you rescued by your great power and strong hand are servants. O Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those of us who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it into his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer." So how do we begin to live a life of influence? Well, the first thing we see in the life of Nehemiah is this start from his heart. You know, it's hard to be successful at anything in life if we don't have a passion for it. I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, to see when people have a passion for something, that burning desire, it's so evident, right? And for anyone who doesn't know, my wife, she's a nurse, right? And thank God for all the nurses here because they deal with lots of things. It's a demanding field. Some, like my wife, are just awesome at it. And not only is she super smart, but she has a passion for people that she cares about. And her selfless drive and servant heart, it just enriches the lives of the people that she encounters every day. Every day. And it's really hard to be good at anything if you don't have the heart for it. Because when things get difficult, it's those that have the heart that persevere. And I believe as I was getting ready to write this message that the Holy Spirit wants to reignite you, wants to rekindle that passion inside of you. And that's what happens to Nehemiah. Listen again to verse 3. They said to me, "Things are not going well for those who return to the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. He hears about the state of the city and, more importantly, the state of the inhabitants in that place, and the Holy Spirit moves him, starts to pull on his heartstrings. And listen to what he does next in verse 4. When I heard this, I sat down and I wept. Now, if you've ever heard the song Hosanna by Hillsong, we sing words like, heal my heart and make it clean. Open my eyes to the things unseen. Break my heart for what breaks yours. But Nehemiah, he wasn't just singing songs, he was living this. And although he himself had never yet been to Jerusalem, he hears and immediately is burdened. That heartstring is pulled. God has put that heart within him. He is deeply saddened for that current situation. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever had your heartstrings pulled on? That's God speaking to you. That's God pulling on your heartstrings. You know what? Before we go any further, I want to just take a moment right now. Take a moment and ask God. Ask him to give you a heart for where you're created to be right now. No matter where you are, ask him to help you to be present in the moment. To be present in the moment and to listen, and more importantly, to be present for the people that are in your lives that he has put around you right now. Because God's heart is about people. Ask him to enable you to see how he sees them. Ask him to enable you to feel how he feels about them. Now, I get it. This might be risky. You're like, you don't know that guy over across the street. But allow yourself to be overcome. Allow yourself to be burdened. Allow the Holy Spirit to work within you so that you have the wisdom and the knowledge and the fire of the need of others. Allow yourself to be burdened with the heaviness of it all. This is what passion is, my friends. This is what leaders need, my friends. You gotta have the passion if you want to lead anyone. You know, as I was praying a couple weeks ago for the men's encounter, I got this overwhelming sense of this self-inflicted burden that we all carry. You know, and as I prepared for this past Wednesday, burden was the constant theme for me in my prayer life this week. This burden for those that are spiritually malnourished. You know, and I just kept coming back to Proverbs 13:12, where it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Have you ever wanted something so bad? Have you ever been promised something? Have you ever hoped for something or had a vision for something, but yet never saw it come to fruition or only partially fulfilled? I know what that feels like. It hurts. I know this. And this is what Nehemiah's experience is right here. He was fully aware of the warnings given by Moses and the prophecies if the people disobeyed God, that they would be scattered into exile. But he was also fully aware of the promises of God. And if they turned to him, that God would reunite them in Jerusalem. But this had yet to happen. It hurt. So yes, it's true. Some had returned from exile to the temple, as Pastor Brad had said. And some had returned and, you know, rebuilt that temple. But it was only a partial fulfillment, because Jerusalem was still a far cry of its former glory and what God wants it to be. And as a matter of fact, as Pastor Brad said, he's posting something later. Pastor Brad's going to teach us specifically on Jerusalem this Wednesday. So make sure that you guys are here. Don't miss that. And what did I say? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. The pain of a sick heart is what Nehemiah felt. It's what he felt as he wept that day. He wept because he had a hope for his ancestors. He had a hope for his people, and it was deferred. Now, I don't know where some of you are right now, but I know when I walk around town, when I walk around at Walmart or I'm over at Stop and Shop or I take my kids to the Crystal Mall, I get this sense there are many that are suffering from a sick heart. And I don't mean a physically sick heart. I mean an emotional, spiritual heart. Maybe it's even within some of you today that this hope deferred is making you sick. And when our hope starts to disappear, it's too easy for us to go down those holes. It's too easy for us to shut down our heart. We try to protect ourselves, right? We try to protect ourselves so we no longer feel that hurt and pain. We escape. We start to distance. We put distance between ourselves and our friends. We start to shut people out in every effort just to protect ourselves from being let down. You know, I'm in the medical field, and as I was preparing this, it just reminded me so much of what shock is and what our bodies do when we experience shock. It's this critical condition and sudden drop in blood flow, and it may come from trauma or blood loss or reactions or infections, any number of things. But when a person goes into shock, their body organs start to shut down. They're not getting enough blood or oxygen, and if left untreated, this leads to permanent damage. And maybe even death. We can only pray that our hope doesn't suddenly drop in ourselves. Or, you know, this lack of passion pushes us further and further away. And that the fire of hope continues to flow in our hearts. You know, just like shock, this will most definitely lead to spiritual damage if we continue to segregate and separate ourselves. At this point, a person, they aren't living anymore. They're merely just existing. You see, we're made to be a people with soft hearts and hard feet. Hearts that feel compassion, that are burdened, but with feet hard enough to walk out what our calling is. Yet so often, naturally, people, we end up just the opposite. We end up just the opposite, with hard hearts and soft feet. We are feeling nothing and going nowhere. Fear. Fear overcomes us. And then that fear, it starts to paralyze us. But don't get too depressed yet. Don't get too depressed because there is hope. Just as the doctors in the ER are going to give you fluids and blood products to replenish this blood supply to your heart, the Holy Spirit will supply everything the heart needs in order to soften you. In order to soften you in such a way that God can work through us as He intended. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Spirit to soften our hearts and to allow us to be rescued from our pain and our despair. Thank you, Lord. You see, the prophet Ezekiel, he prophesied during the time of exile that God promised something by His Spirit, and that the hope of that is what people could survive on. The hope that He would come and remove this heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And as He fills you, you will find that hope. And when that hope finds you, it will reignite your passion. Passion will be rekindled. And it's this passion for those around you that will start to explode within you. You will feel those heartstrings being pulled in every direction. And you want to spread that love and that joy. So make sure you hear this. Make sure you hear this. Christianity is not about behavior modification. It's not about getting your mind right. It's about a very real transformation that's deep within your heart, which can only rely on God to get. And as Nehemiah wept, as Nehemiah was burdened and prayed, he received the heart of full passion to do for others, for some that he didn't even know. But God knew them. So how do we as people, how do we receive this great passion to use and to influence those around us and to be reignited? How do we do that? Do we need a 10-foot pole and a megaphone with signs on it? Is that what we need?
do we need to start pushing our way into every single argument that happens on social media? You know, if we replicate Nehemiah's leadership pattern, our own heart is burdened. We must cry out with prayer. We must pray without delay. We must pray in order to receive the wisdom and the guidance that comes along with that burden. Because as he burdens you, you need to go to him to seek that wisdom, to seek that guidance. And just look at what Nehemiah does. As soon as he hears the news about Jerusalem, he weeps. And the very next thing he does, he prays. In fact, for days, I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Listen to my prayer. Look down and see me praying night and day for your people, Israel. I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. Do you hear what he did there? Do you hear what he did? He praised God. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayers of your servant. Your servant is praying before you night and day, O God. And this, which is the first of these nine prayers that are recorded in the book of Nehemiah, he begins his prayer by acknowledging who God is. He says, O Lord of heaven, O great and awesome God. He gives all the praise. It sounds a lot like the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He then continues in his prayer for those of Israel. It's truly so telling of Nehemiah's heart, since prayer is the most eloquent expression of our priorities. Now, you might think you know what the most important thing is in your life or where your priorities of your heart lie, but ask yourself this question. Ask yourself this question. What do I pray about most? What do I pray about most often? Because the answer to that question lies right there. It will tell you what the priorities of your heart are. And if you use a prayer journal, and I recommend that you do, because I've had to do it during my internship, and it's amazing how it can be a map for you, a map that shows the direction of travel in your prayer life and shows your character. And it can give you this insight into your true heart. Now, if you didn't know, prayer is actually one of the secret sauces here at Seaport. And if you're not on Facebook, Pastor Brad had posted earlier this week about our unwavering commitment to praying for you. Now, you might ask, why? Why? Why do you pray so much? Why? Because we believe that when we pray in faith and in hope, miraculous things happen. Miraculous things happen in our life. Miraculous things happen in this area. And we begin to influence the world around us. We can then become the leaders that Christ and God has created us to be for his kingdom. That's why we pray. You know, the theologian Karl Barth put it this way. To clasp our hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. So how do you become a leader? How do you become a leader? You pray. You pray fervently. You pray. You pray without delay. And this is the way that we influence and lead the world around us. This is the way that we connect our hearts to God's. This is so we can know where God wants us to go, what God wants us to do. We pray. And in order to, you know, kind of continue this pattern that Nehemiah has laid out for us, we see that in verse 6, he frees not only himself, but he also frees his people by taking on spiritual responsibility. Listen to what he says as he prays. I confess that we, not I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my own family and I have sinned. We've sinned terribly by not obeying your commands, your decrees, and regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. Lord, I confess that we have sinned against you. Yes, even my family and I have sinned.
You know, it would have been easy for Nehemiah to blame the exile on the previous generations. You know, it would have been easy for him to, you know, blame it on his neighbors, maybe his mother-in-law, right? The exile happened 140 years before he even lived. But no, Nehemiah, he takes personal and spiritual responsibility for the acts brought upon them. He puts his hand up and he says, God, it was me, it was us. I'm sorry, Lord. And there is something so freeing when we submit to a higher authority, isn't there? There's only been one perfect being who dwelt among us, and confessing our mess and repenting is one of the most freeing things that we can ever do. You know, if you remember last week, Adam was talking about this repentance. It's not a negative thing. You shouldn't think of it that way. Often, it's unrepentant sin that puts this space between us and God. It's the thing that puts space between us and others. It's this space that makes us feel fearful. It's this space when we think we're trying to protect ourselves that makes us feel ashamed, causing us to hide from God and withdraw from Him and withdraw from each other instead of remaining just present with Him. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so transformative to be transparent. Because the adversary, he wants us to feel this separation. He wants us to feel this shame. He wants us to be alone and segregated and separated from each other. He wants us on our separate islands. Because he knows that we are stronger when we're together. He knows that. You know, Jesus, he isn't interested in making bad people good. He's not interested in that. He's interested and wants to make those that are spiritually dead alive again. He is here to redeem us. He came to restore us. So think back to a time. Think back to a time when you blew it, when you just blew it, when you missed the mark. Think of that time when you wronged someone else. What happens when you confess to blowing it? What happens when you confess that you missed the mark, when you did something you shouldn't have? Because that's what Nehemiah is doing here. He is confessing, apologizing for his wrongs and the wrong of the people. He's clearing the air between God and him. He's removing anything that could separate him and his people from God. And the most amazing thing happens when we do that. We are freed. How freeing is it when you've done something wrong and you go to that person and they say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I mean, I don't know if your neighbor's going to forgive you if your kid backed into his car. But you can ask him. But the great thing about God is he always forgives. Unlike anyone else, unlike any other thing, his spirit breathes actual life within your spirit. This reconciliation is what we will continue to be restored to in eternity. We will feel that breath of his life, that freeing power of the Lord. The more we're transparent and confess to our Father, the more we have these intimate encounters. Because the Father always forgives. You see, repentance that's motivated by fear leaves us hating ourselves. But repentance that's motivated by the joy of being reconciled leads us to hating the sin. So confess your mess. Confess your mess and be freed. Be freed from it and reconnect yourself with the Lord by being transparent with Him. Have the heart of God by having the heart of His people wherever God placed you to be at. Wherever He's put you, be burdened for them. See them as He sees them. Be the influence of the world around you by clasping your hands in prayer, by being transparent with God, and experience this spiritual renewal that God breathes upon you. Be restored.
be restored in His presence. Be restored because your spirit is the light. It's the light that ignites the darkness around you. And your light will be undeniable. It will be irresistible. It'll be this irresistible beacon to those around you that are in those stormy times and in those stormy seasons. So friends, I gotta ask you, how are you influencing and leading those around you? Do you have a soft enough heart and hard enough feet to walk out what God has planned for you? And if you're not a Christian, what are you waiting for? Don't let yourself be separated from the life and love that the restoration that only the Creator of the universe can provide. Stop pacifying your needs by the newest and greatest worldly creation. Trust in the Creator, not in the creation. Trust Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus and let Him take your heart of stone and turn it into a heart of flesh. Hallelujah. Why don't you guys stand with me? I'm going to have the band come back up. Just go ahead and bow your heads. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting a heart of flesh within us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting the burden upon our heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for pulling the burdens so that we seek others and we seek to know others as you know them, Lord. Lord, I pray that each and every one of us has a burden in our heart, that we recognize this burden and that we live it out every day, Lord. That we're spending time with you, Lord, so that we know where the wisdom and guidance is, Lord. We know who you want us to go reach, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this burden, Lord. May it be deep within our souls so that we will follow where you want to send us, Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.
Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. When you move, I'll move. I will follow. All your ways are good. All your ways are sure. I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight.
When you move, I'll move. I will follow you.
When you love, I'll love.
close, but I'm going to challenge you to do something. Probably 30,000 people are going to be in downtown Mystic right now. Right now, for the St. Patrick's Day Parade. And I've asked Rolando and Bree, come on, step over here. I've asked these guys, they've got a passion for evangelism. Robert made up a little card. And I've asked them to lead whoever wants to go down there with them. Go down for an hour. If you go, down there, I'll buy your lunch. Go down there with them. And just this little card has the prayer of St. Patrick on it. And all they're going to do is they're just going to go, would you like the prayer of St. Patrick? On the back side, is a QR code that takes them to more information about Patrick and who he was. Because a lot of people down there to pray don't really know who St. Patrick was. They really don't know. That tells them more about St. Patrick and, you know. So that's just a simple thing. It's a simple thing. I'm going to ask them to go down there and be done before the parade starts at 1 o'clock. 30,000 people in downtown Mystic. And these guys are going to, I hope a few of you will go with them. They're going to leave right after church, go down there, pass these cards out, and then they'll be gone out of there before the parade starts at 1 o'clock. Do we want to be people of influence? There's a chance to do it. Wednesday night, I was going to do it today, but we don't have time. Wednesday night, I'm going to tell you about another opportunity. You're going to have to be a person of influence, and it has to do with free gasoline. But anyway, I'll tell you more about that. The church is going to do something kind of crazy and help people with gasoline. We've got to be on Wednesday. I'll tell you about it. Anyway, let's pray right now. And this is what I want you to do. If you want to talk to them about this, if you want to go and just jump in there and be part of this for an hour, just meet with them. They're going to be right over here in this corner. But if you need prayer for any other reason, the team will be up here and they'll pray with you. And we're going to close. The band will just play softly and the team will be up here and we'll pray with you. But if you'd like to go with Rolando and Bree, just for an hour, go down there. Meet them over here. Father God, thank you. You're calling us to be people of influence. For Nehemiah, it was all on the line. It was all on the line, and there wasn't one thing that was easy or convenient about it. It was life-altering to the max. But what he did became such a powerful example for thousands of years. Thank you for that. Help us to be people of influence with a burden and a passion and a prayer. We trust you for this today, Father. Amen, friends. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. If you need prayer, come up here and receive it. If you want to join these guys, come over and meet with them. God, if you need to go, God bless you. Thanks for being here today.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good. Good. Oh, yes, you are good. Good. Oh, gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Throughout the good, good, you are the good, good, you are the good, good. You're never gonna let me down.